motivated devotional service. It's really interesting and amazing that devotional service can help us to develop that understanding, but at the same time, you cannot get into that. So that is why we need this sadhana bhakti in practice. Under the scriptural regulations, we have to engage our senses under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master who help us to come to that platform. And this sadhu sangha, by association with the devotees. So that is how. Otherwise, it is very difficult, you know. We cannot be even engaged in devotional service. It is only by the mercy of Krishna directly and or indirectly through his representatives, we become inspired to be engaged in devotional service. That's very, very important to understand that. So this faith and conviction that only through my engagement in devotional service, I would become free from material miseries, you know. And then ultimately, as the next chapter will show, that is not that it ends, actually. Just getting freedom from material misery is not the end, as others are saying that. In fact, the true devotional service begins right at that point. Until we develop this Krishna prema, the ultimate, the goal of human form of life. And that is advancement in devotional life. So that is the pretty much summary of this chapter 44. So now we come to, as I told you right from the beginning, these six chapters are really the conclusion of whatever all these times Jiva Goswami is talking about. So next point, next slide number four, please. So these, so about chapter 45. So these conclusions, so now we, now Jiva Goswami is now making conclusions about the supreme goal, the ultimate goal of human form of life, and that is to develop Krishna prema, you know. That is the ultimate goal, you know, the prayojan tattva. So that is how we understand that we must come to that level. So here, Srila Jiva Goswami begins. Actually, it's very nice, you know. There are, the Vedas teaches us actually, there are four purusharthas. What is purusharth? We must understand. Purusha means enjoyer. And sometimes purusha means is the male, right? But it's not necessarily. Purusha means whosoever wants to enjoy, even women wants to enjoy too, you know. So purusharth means you, literally meaning struggle, endeavor. So unless we in struggle and endeavor, so there are four kinds of the struggles are there for the tree to arrive the traditional aims with liberation being the final goal. That's what Vedas teaches up to that actually, you know, from material existence. So to want to become free from our difficulties in our material life, that's where the ends actually. So this dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So in other words, you perform religious activities solely for the material motive. Yeah, I want to have lots of money, very comfortable life, you know, luxury life, health, wealth, and so on like that, a good family and so on like that. For that, they perform religious practices, you know, solely for the sake of material gain. And then material gain, you get this artha, economic well-being, nice, comfortable, rich wealth and so on like that, health and so on like that, you know. So economic gain, yeah. And that leads to desire. More and more desire develops. And we need to satisfy those desires. And they are never satisfied. More, in, you know, if you get $1,000, you want $10,000, $1,000,000, you still never get satisfied. So there's continued this tremendous material pursuit. He gets engaged. Sensual desires, you know, wholesome fulfillment of sensual desires. There is karma. Then ultimately, he gets this moksha. Liberation. So that he may take to it, he may have to go through many, many lifetimes, so many repeated cycles of birth and death, you know, in different spheres of life, he has to keep on going there, you know. So that is the liberation from that, ultimate this liberation, you know, from repeated cycles of birth and death. So that is where the it ends, actually, the purushartha, the constant struggle, the constant endeavor. That's where it ends, according to the central theme of all Vedic knowledge. You know? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues from that also. So this occurred when Sanatana Goswami first, when he met, he surrendered, he came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's where he asked it, you know, how do, what I do once I become free from material existence, then what I should do, you know. So that's a natural question. So that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduces him, this fifth or the pancham purushartha, the struggle goes on, and that is goes well beyond liberation, and that is to develop, to attain love of Krishna, you know, the reciprocal relationship, loving relationship with Krishna and us. It's not one-way relationship, you know, and that is the supreme goal of Prayojan Tattva. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that revelation based on scriptural authority in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what he calls spotless Purana, you know. And remember, we learned it through this 1343 verse, you know, that when Krishna left for his abode, the religious principle takes shelter of whom, you know, then how did living entities derive looking for the religious principles? So that's where Krishna Svadhama Upagate Dharma Jnana Adibis Kalo Drashti that when Krishna left for his abode along with his all religious principle and knowledge, so that's when this Srimad Bhagavatam compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, through that in the age of Kali Yuga, the dense darkness of Kali Yuga becomes illuminated by Krishna himself in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of Krishna. And through him, through Bhagavatam, we get this religious principles and the knowledge. So this is scriptural authority of Bhagavatam that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes. And that's where he says that this love of Godhead, that is the fifth purushartha, after gaining liberation. In fact, liberation comes through that, already liberation, already one gets, you know. So that is chapter 45, I believe. There's some more. The next PowerPoint. So what is the significance? That's very interesting now. Please pay attention here. Very important point here. That this Jiva Goswami, when he says, when he describes the supreme goal of human life, he says it is the love of Krishna and not Krishna himself. Well, I'm sure many of you would be surprised to hear that it is the love of Krishna and not Krishna himself when he describes the goal of life. How do we understand that? So actually what it's explained, is the ultimate object of love. While love of God is really itself the goal, you know. So we have the goal, but what is that goal? The object of that goal is Krishna himself, you know. And through developing love, then we attain Krishna, actually. So as the jiva, as the living entity, as we are drawn towards Krishna, we are propelled towards Krishna prema, so Krishna himself is also equally drawn to us, you know, to that love expressed by us, by pure living entities. And here it is meant, the word is used, sattvata, you know. That verse is very nice verse, actually. It's the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam 177. Yasyam vaishruyamayam, yasyam vaishruyamanam, Krishna parampurushe, bhaktir utpadyate pumsaha, shoka moha bhaya vaina. So the living entities, Krishna shows his reciprocation by giving us, by us under this shelter, under this shelter of his internal potency, Swarupa Shakti, as I mentioned before. And there are three categories of that. The Sandini Shakti, which gives eternality, which that means once began devotional service, it continues all the way forward, you know. And then Samavit Shakti, Krishna gives all the necessary knowledge. Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayanti Te. Those who are constantly engaged, Satatam, that word constantly is very, very important here, very significant. Tesham Satatam Yuktanam. Yuktanam means engaged in this loving devotional service. Then what Krishna's, you know, actually Krishna is sitting in our heart all the time, is super soul. But here it is not a super soul that is mentioned here. It is Krishna himself, Swayam Bhagavan, really comes in his heart through in the form of Swarupa Shakti, Krishna's internal potency. And that gives Dadami Buddhuyagam. That gives all the necessary knowledge about him, just how to come towards him, to that devotee. So it is a reciprocal relationship. So when we chant Hare Krishna, the very name Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Both Krishna and Rama, along with his energy potency, this bhakti potency represented by Srimati Radharani, that is the topmost bhakti potency Radharani represents, that Swarupa Shakti. When we chant this Hare Krishna, the name, very name Krishna or Lord Rama, that is Lord Balarama. So that there's no difference between them. So, and along with this, Krishna is never alone. Krishna is always with his potencies are there and all its spirit. So then Krishna himself is invoked right there when we chant. And then Krishna engages in his service. He gives us the incentive. He draws us closer to him because of his, when he said Dadami Yuddhi Bhogam Yogam Tam, he gives his Swarupa Shakti. He endows his that potency, the propulsion, the great force moving him forward towards Krishna. And Krishna comes towards him in that form. So it's a reciprocal relationship developed. And this devotion is both the means, that is sadhana bhakti, and the goal. Sadhana bhakti is what we are practicing. When we don't have natural affection, spontaneous affection, raga bhakti, we don't have raga, we don't have attachment, we don't have love, we don't have affection for Krishna, you have to develop for that. And there is a potent process for that. Especially Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the English translation, Nectar of Devotion, that's where he says that actually, that this, there are 64 angas of this bhakti. Even simply going to the temple and offering obeisances to the Lord, there is one of the anga of bhakti actually. There are five potent processes actually. You know? Simply chanting the holy name, shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, sadhu sangha, devotee association, and deity seva, serving the Lord in his deity form, and staying in Krishna's holy dhamma. Wherever Krishna and his devotees are there, that becomes holy dhamma. That doesn't literally mean holy dhamma, although the holy dhamma itself has great value. But we can develop the Vrindavan mood anywhere in the world, actually. Anywhere, wherever you are, you can develop by simply invoking Krishna and seeking his association of his devotees. Then that Vrindavan mood is automatically developed. So all these five potent processes, Rupa Goswami says, claims that even a neophyte can develop this pure devotional service. That is the great potency, you know. So that sadhana bhakti can serve lead to this ultimate perfection. So practicing, ultimately we become perfection, you know. So it's, I like to compare the sadhana bhakti is securing admission, being accepted in a professional school. So either you want to become a doctor, like medical school, you want to become a lawyer in the law school, whatever professionalism you want to look for, that lawyer, doctor, engineer, and so on like that. You have to get accepted in the professional medical school. So when you get accepted, that tells you. So you board a train going towards a goal. If you want to move from Mumbai to New Delhi, you get into that train going to that particular destination. So once you get a seat and reservation that seat, you're already going to go as long as you remain seated there. You know, as long as you get accepted in a professional school and you study under the professionals, professors, and so on like that, and you pass necessary exams, then you are going to become doctor, lawyer, engineer, and so on like that. So here also, sadhana bhakti, once you engage, when Krishna accepts you in his service, practicing under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, and you practice, engage yourself in daily activities, rules, regulations given by the scriptures, bona fide scriptures, authenticated scriptures, under the guidance of spiritual master, then that sadhana bhakti surely will progress all the way ultimately to the final goal, that is the getting a diploma, getting a degree. So that is the Krishna prema, you know. Even sadhana bhakti gives that, you know. So in that way, there's no difference in sadhana bhakti. But you have to constantly stay with that. So you see that you are attending this course, right? This six Sandarbha course. This is a module one, actually. So you are very lucky, very fortunate by Krishna's mercy. You are already here. But you have to stay and keep attending, keep hearing at every week, not once in a while. Then surely you are going to get the benefit of the six. You are going to get the benefit. You are going to get the mercy, personal mercy of Srila Jiva Goswami. And then the Srimad Bhagavatam, the very essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is going to be revealed within your heart internally by the Lord himself. So, but the requirement is that you have to, regularly attend, regularly hear, and attentively hear, you know, in association with other devotees. Because other devotees is going to inspire you. That is going to work cooperatively. It will give you the inspiration when you look others also attending regularly, you know. That's how you can participate, asking questions. Not just passively hearing. When you hear something, it is boundless. It is some questions will arise in your heart. Definitely. But sometimes what happens when someone's nature is very introvert, you know, internally, then they become shy. They don't want to ask questions. But you asking questions, more and more aspect of the knowledge being revealed to you, you know. So first and foremost, you must attend regularly, you know. When you're at a medical school, you have to go every day to the college. Every day you need to hear the professors. Professor will give you homework, assignments. You have to study the books. And then to prove that you have indeed studied the books, you have to take exams. Here also, I have told you many times that please take test. Now, that itself will tell you. It's not a drag, you know. It's a joyful exercise. But, you know, nobody showed any interest. Repeatedly I said, then I finally had to give up. Even my own team members, they are not interested in that, you know. So that's a terrible disappointment. Fine, that's fine. As long as you are attending, I'm very happy. This taking test, exams, is the way to prove yourself that you indeed heard the knowledge that is given by Krishna, you know. Otherwise, Krishna is going to examine you in any way, you know. And that's why he does both negatively and positively by Maya, you know. Maya's influence, possibly by sending his own devotees. So here, so Jiva Goswami gives these four reasons why this prema bhakti is the supreme goal, prayojan tattva, towards the original personal Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, that is Sri Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna, actually, you know. That is the most, so because there's the most worthy recipient, Krishna is indeed the most worthy recipient object of love, our love. So he gives four reasons in this chapter. First, Lord Krishna instructs everyone about our ultimate welfare. That's a very important point here, you know. It's Krishna within ourselves. When we take shelter of Krishna in sadhana bhakti, when we are practicing devotional service, Krishna within ourselves tells you what is good for and what is not good for you. He will himself arranges. Otherwise, what will happen when you want to avoid, Krishna will help towards that goal also. Then you will find all kind of reasons, all kind of excuses, lame excuses, not to hear him, you know, not to attend regularly his classes, you know. So he tells you, when you show your own utmost sincerity, you have all Krishna is looking for our desire. We don't have to worry about anything else. Oh, this subject is tough. How are we going to understand? That's not your lookout. That's not our lookout. That is Krishna's lookout. Your goal is to show her that, yes, my Lord, yes, my Krishna, my dear Krishna, I want to understand you. You are Srimad Bhagavatam yourself. You are the literary incarnation. And Bhagavatam, through Bhagavatam, you reveal yourself. So I want to understand. I want to be part of that process, part of your mercy. So please engage me. So when you show the desire, all rest of the things is personally taken care of by Krishna. And I'm telling you from my own personal example, my own living, I'm the living example of that thing, you know. So that Krishna really, when he accepts you as his devotee, he takes the charge, complete charge, responsibility of telling you what is in your ultimate benefit. What he says that in Bhagavad Gita, that, you know, that whatever my devotee is lacking, I provide, you know, and whatever he has, I protect, you know. So what more do you want that, you know? Krishna goes out of his way to lead his devotee back to him. So that is number one reason why Prema Bhakti, that goal is to be there, you know. Then second reason Jiva Goswami gives, he mercifully relieves all material miseries of the conditioned souls by helping to liberate them from illusion. So you see that when we don't want to attend the classes, you know, we give, or we don't want to go to the temple, when our devotee friend tells us, let's go to the temple, and we give all kind of excuses, and we say that, no, I have this engagement here, I have to go to this party, my daughter's birthday, or I have to take my son to this so-and-so, you know, practice and so-and-so like that. So all kind of reasons develop, you know. So this wrong sense of priority takes over. The topmost priority has to be towards Krishna. All other things are automatically taken care of. That doesn't mean that you should not, you should ignore your all other material activities. But that Krishna will arrange is, even when you take him, the supreme goal is the supreme engagement, all other things are automatically taken care of. That again, I am the living example. I have no smartness. I am the fool number one. I am the stupid number one. All the worldly kind of skills I don't have. And still Krishna took care of me. I got properly educated. I got married. I got children. Children automatically got education. They're both of my children, my son and my daughter, they graduated. My son became an engineer. My daughter is a professional business woman. And they both got married, very happily married. And now we have grandchildren. And they're also very healthy grandchildren, very nice, very intelligent. So I don't know. I did not take any part at all. Automatically taken care of by the Lord. My job is to serve Krishna. And Krishna takes care of all my personal needs, you know. So that is how we have to do. We have to trust Krishna. He will take care of you, you know. We are not here. See, when you say we eat for the sake of eating, no. We eat for our nourishment. So these kind of things like that. Our nourishment is towards Krishna, actually, you know. So that is reason number two. That he says, and actually Bhagavad Gita, again, he tells Arjuna, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayasi ma sucha. He emphasizes, don't worry, I will take care of all your material miseries. I will take care of all your difficulties, and I will take all your karmic bondage also, as long as his condition is that you have to surrender to me. So Krishna, Supreme Lord himself, puts condition, yes. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more merciful towards him. He does not put any condition whatsoever, you know. He even takes care of even the most fallen souls also. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more merciful, because he is representing Krishna's internal potency. Srimati Radharani. Radharani is much more merciful than Krishna himself. She tells him that I want this devotee to be taken care of, that, you know. So that is how you have to do that. So he will take care of all our material difficulties. Yes, difficulties will come, because Krishna does not break the rules of his material nature, Prakriti. But even while protecting the laws of material nature, he manages to help his devotees. You know, even of cutting off all his arm, but his injury is written. So he will just hurt a little tip of your finger and will take care of you, you know. But he will most certainly will take care of you, you know. So that's number two, you know. Number three, he is the supreme self of everyone, like the sun related to rays. So he is the supreme. We are part and parcel of him, you know. So obviously we are being part and parcel. We have to be subservient to the supreme, you know. Just like you are part of your office staff. Obviously the office manager or the director, of the chief of the organization, you have to serve him whatever they require, you know, and thereby you also get benefit, you know. So that has to be there. So that's the third reason. Fourth reason, that it is the two-armed form of Krishna, the coward boy in Vrindavan. That is the most beautiful, most charming sweetness. That's Vrindavan Krishna, all attractive form. The very name Krishna, all attractive, you know. Krishna means Karshati, it is Krishna. Iti Krishna. Karshati means who attracts everyone towards him. That is Krishna. So that is Swayam Bhagavan. And is inherently self-endowed, endowed with all the wonderful sweet qualities to their fullest extent, you know. Naturally, once Krishna is invoked by chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. What a sweet, wonderful feeling you get when you chant Hare Krishna. You know? So, because that feeling comes from Krishna. When you chant name Krishna, that's what Jiva Goswami is saying. When the very name Krishna in that Maha Mantra, that attracts Krishna. Krishna's attention is drawn towards you. Krishna notices us, actually, you know. And immediately he gives this Alladani potency, the blissful state, the great happiness, you know, joy. Anything, everything you do in devotional service is a joy, not a drag, you know. So when you hear about Krishna, you feel so wonderful, you know. So the same Krishna, along with his personal attributes, opens a self-manifested, and that what Vyasa saw is the same Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna, he saw that in his trance sadhi. And that's the ultimate proof that Srila Jiva Goswami, whatever he's saying is based on that strength of that evidence, you know. Continuing forward now. So, Papa number 7, please. So, that is the summary of chapter text 45. Now, text 46. So, three levels of this bhakti. So, we already, Jiva Goswami has already proved to us the bhakti is the supreme goal, actually, and that is prema bhakti, you know. First you practice, and then that it leads us to the perfection. So there are three levels of bhakti, actually. Sadhana bhakti, that's bhakti in practice. Then bhava bhakti, that is when you develop affection towards Krishna, your heart becomes soft in great affection, and then the condense, sanrat, so highly condensed in bliss, and that becomes prema bhakti, ultimate goal. So in this anucheda, in this text 46, Srila Jiva Goswami explains what Srila Vyasadeva himself realized in his samadhi. That only bhakti is the means, that is abhideya tattva of Srimad Bhagavatam, to free the living entities from all material miseries, you know. again, this verse is great. You should really memorize this verse. Anathopusvam shakshat bhakti yogam adokshaje. You know, lokastya janatos vidvams chakra satvata samhitam. You know, so this all kind of anarthas. Is what artham is meaning. Something that happens has no meaning. All these great material miseries comes in our life because we're futile material pursuits that we are madly going after. All these anarthas, meaningless things, completely get mitigated simply by bhakti yogam adokshaje. Adokshaje means is Krishna who is beyond sense perception. So when we are engaged in that bhakti, so that is what Jiva Goswami said. That bhakti which is mentioned there is actually sadhana bhakti, because you are practicing that. You don't have naturally genius. So you first practice. So when you do that, the potency of the sadhana bhakti, Krishna will take charge of your life. He will remove the very reason why you are getting difficulties. You are getting difficulties because of your karmic reactions. No? So Krishna will remove those karmas, the karmic results, the reactions. And as a result, of course, there is no more reason for suffering. Whatever the, all the karmic, everything in the, this very same life, Krishna resolves. So you don't have to come back again for that, you know. So that is bhakti yoga madhokshaya. That bhakti is actually sadhana bhakti, you know, anatha upasamam. And what's a lokasya jana? This simple process is people on the streets, billions of people, you know, they are totally unaware of that simple fact, you know. So that is Krishna in the form of Srila Vyasadeva composed Srimad Bhagavatam, and especially for Satvata, those devotees who are very sincere, you know, very sincere, regularly attending in hearing Krishna, all about Krishna from the comfort of your own life. What more do you want? You are being provided with this great opportunity that you don't have to travel anywhere, you don't have to pay not a single pai, not a single paisa, nothing like that. Everything you are getting right in the comfort of your own home, and still if you manage to find reasons, I can't do that, Prabhu. I have so many other things. I'm so busy in my life. Then what? Nobody can help you with that, you know. But you have to show that, yes, I want to come, and every week I want to hear about Krishna. Then Krishna himself will arrange, will take care of all other engagements in your life. And he will satisfy all the requirements, you know. All your material needs also will be taken care of. And spiritual needs, you know. So that's what, that sincere sadhana bhakti is required, you know. That's what mentioned by that verse. Then the bhakti yogam, I mentioned in, so 1.76, that's the verse. So that is bhakti, sadhana bhakti. As opposed to prema bhakti of Vyasa, that he says in 1.74 and 177. When he says that, you know, 174, that is the Srila Vyasadeva was in that state, completely engaged in even the Shoka Moha Bhaya Apa. That verse also comes only when Prema Bhakti is there. Then all the illusions, fearfulness, I have removed that, you know. And 177 is the potency. That's where the that verse I just said to you, you know. Simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna will take remove all your vision, shoka, lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. He will remove. So that is that bhakti that is mentioned there is on the prema bhakti level, just the final perfectional stage. You know, so sadhana bhakti can be taught, can be learned. You know, by practicing one's engagement. As I told you, three things are required in sadhana bhakti. You have to engage your senses, okay, in working for Krishna. And you have to follow the rules and regulations of scriptures. Under the scriptural rules and regulations, you have to practice. And under the bona fide guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. So these three things are required. So that is sadhana bhakti. So that is really when you are being taught when you learn, so it's a learning process. So clearly that's an immature stage, you know, that's not perfection, as opposed to prema bhakti, that's the mature stage, perfectional stage, that's shown in the next one. So prema bhakti is the highest love. This highest love, on the other hand, is a mature stage and cannot be taught. Yes. You cannot, prema bhakti, you cannot learn. Nobody can teach you. That come by the direct mercy of the Lord himself, you know. So in the prema bhakti level, next PowerPoint, Prabhupada. So only prema bhakti, that is the one really, to alleviate all kind of lamentation, illusion, and the fearfulness, you know. What is fearful? That you will have to come back again in this material world, you know. So that is the one. So that is achieved by achieving this perfection of prema bhakti, you know. So then, you know, how do you say that when Krishna says, sarva dharman paritya mam ekam sharanam vraja atam sarva papi mokshasam. So why is he saying that sadhana bhakti also will remove all kind of material miseries, all kind of karmic bondage? Because it is sadhana bhakti by being engaged, by practicing devotional service, that attracts Krishna's attention, and he will engage you. And then ultimately, like I said, you got an admission in a professional school. So you are going to graduate as long as you follow whatever the requirements, you know. So that is why sadhana bhakti is also part of prema bhakti, you know, in that sense. So it is by the means of sadhana bhakti that attracts Krishna's mercy. Therefore, it can be said to directly mitigate all material miseries. So that's how Jiva Goswami explains that. So in no way sadhana bhakti you can consider inferior that way. So the mature condition, prema bhakti, be developed, you know. So all material conditions is automatically removed now by prema bhakti. So to prove that, Srila Jiva Goswami cites these two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 20, text 32-33, to confirm that devotional service is sufficient in itself and of herself to both remove misery and grant boons. You know, what the greatest boon can you get when Krishna is accepting you in his service, you know? So here's that translation of those two verses. That through reaction, penance, the cultivation of knowledge, karma yoga, mustik yoga, and so like that, severe austerities and so on like that, and detachment, renunciation, that what is achieved by mystic yoga, charity, advances, religious observances, auspicious actions, or other methods, whatever you name it, any other method other than the, you see, is not as effective as bhakti, you know. So here Krishna himself says that to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita, that my devotee easily all that my bhakti when he somehow or other desires heaven, final attitude or my abode. Everything is achieved by him himself, automatically, you know. But my devotee is even offered, he will not accept that. Even I'm offering liberation, he will not offer that. He wants that as long as, no matter where you put me, material world or even hellish plan, as long as I get to serve you, I don't care, you know. So that is the attitude of his devotees, you know. So Krishna is more inclined to take his devotee. And then he engages his devotees to even participate in his own sweet pastimes, to teach lessons to others. He utilizes his devotee, such a devotee. So that's what the potency of that, you know. Hari Bol. Next one. Pop into 9, please. So therefore, Sukadeva Goswami, actually in the second canto, you know, he lists so many varieties of demigods, depending on what kind of particular material desire you may have. He tells in Bhagavatam, you know, that one may worship to fulfill all kind of material desires. nonetheless, he again then emphasizes this Srimad Bhagavatam verse, that that famous verse, you know, akama sarva kama va moksha udardi, you know, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So a person who has broader intelligence, who is really, really genuinely intelligent, spiritually intelligent, whether he be full of all material desires. So even if you're material pursuits, you still must come to Krishna. Just like the example of Dhruva Maharaj, you know, then you will understand that, you know. So Krishna will remove the seed of that material desire, why you came for that. And then you will understand that, oh, I was just hoping for a piece of diamond, but Krishna has given so much wealth in bhakti, actually, you know. So he will remove that very seed. So even if you have material desires, you better come to Krishna. Or if you desire for liberation, you're tired of all this material, become free from that first, you know, Krishna will take care of you that also. And or you are really intent that you really, you know, want to worship the Supreme, whole, you know, Purna Purusham, you know. So Krishna will even grant that also. So this is that verse, all is that verse is all about. Akama va kama va sarva kama udarati. Tivrena bhakti yogena purusha yajeta purusham param. So param purusha, purna purusha, you know, the complete person, the absolute person, you know, the purva purusham purusham, that's also he is there from time immemorial. So Rupa Goswami describes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu the differences between this three levels of bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is a very beginning stage, practicing stage. Then you come to this intermediate level, this bhava bhakti, when all the anarthas are removed, everything. And then you develop that special affection towards Krishna, you know. And that's it's compared like a ray of sun, compared to sun. The sun is the prema bhakti, the final stage. When its perfectional stage is reached, you want nothing but Krishna. So I'm not going to go deeper into that. Nectar of devotion, if you attend Bhakti Shastri course, you probably know these things, you know. Hare Krishna. 10, please. Slide 10. So now, Anuchada 47, okay. So that is, bhakti completely frees from all material miseries. So, to clarify the final goal, Prayojan Tattva, as described in verses this 174-6, the 474 is Bhakti Yogena Manasena, you know, or Yaya Sammohito Jiva, that how Krishna's Maya potency bewilders, disillusions the living and his conditioned souls. Or that anatta upasama shaksha, that sadhana bhakti, all affirm that it is the purusham purnam, the complete person mentioned in 174, is in fact Lord Krishna. That is the Vrindavan Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. And that is what Sudha Goswami speaks in 177 actually. Yasyam vaishruyamanayam Krishna param purushe bhaktir upadyati pumsaha shoka moha bhaya apahana. So the Supreme Person Godhead, the bhakti towards him automatically sprouts. So it is not the important significant point here that it is not created, that bhakti. In fact, it is already there in everyone's heart. It simply become dormant because of great material desire, material pursuits that we attain life after life after life, you know. Finally, by the great mercy Krishna shows by sending his personal associates and so, or enacting his own sweet pastimes in this material world, then the beginning takes place, you know, and then goes all the way to perfectional stage. And that is when all lamentations, all fearfulness is removed, completely abolished from his heart. Even the very seeds of these things is destroyed, you know. So that bhaktir utpandite pumsa, So that bhakti mentioned there is this prema bhakti, you know, perfectional stage, and not sadhana bhakti. We heard beginning in text 38, actually, we talked about all these things. You know? Indeed, even the dormant seeds of lamentation, fear, and illusions are destroyed by prema bhakti. That's the complete perfectional stage. So now Krishna is ready to take you away, you know, from this world and take you back to his abode. In fact, he will take you in his pastimes, whenever he descends. He will bring those devotees, not because of karmic bonding, but by his choice, he brings us back here, you know. So all these great personalities, you know, Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Prabhupada and so on, these personalities, they did not come by their karmic bondage. They are part of Krishna's entourage. So wherever Krishna goes, they are in Krishna's pastimes, you know. And they are the one who helping us to move towards Krishna. So here, see, when one chants Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the vibration of the name Krishna attracts the attention of Krishna himself. That very moment, so let's chant again. Please chant with me, all of you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And I guarantee you, all of you today who are with me today now, you chanted with me, Krishna will arrange for you to regularly attend these classes, regularly attend and hearing about Krishna. You know, this Srimad Bhagavatam is all about Krishna. So now, Anucheda number 48, 30 of the bliss of Prema Bhakti. So that's what now Jiva Goswami is going to point out, that, why it is the supreme goal. You know, so here again, Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, even so, see, when someone wants to tell you of something that you have no way, you have no exposure to that, how do we know that? How can you? So then he will tell you something that you are aware of it, something you can relate to it in everyday your life experience, and then make a comparison. So we all know the happiness. Let's say if somebody gets $1 million in great lottery, you obviously you're going to be great happiness, right? But that happiness is nothing compared to the happiness derived from freedom from material existence, liberation. Okay, and even that happiness, when you become free from material existence, even that is nothing. So that when you multiply that by trillion times, 10 to the power of 12, you know, million is 10 to the power of 6, billion 10 to the power of 9, trillion 10 to the power of 9, trillion times if you multiply that. So what to compare? But getting is totally insignificant, you know, nothing, you know. So that is the kind of happiness that you, and that happiness which you derive is just a drop of the ocean, actually, of happiness that you get from this prema bhakti. So it'll give you some idea, you know, because we have no idea what is prema bhakti is all about, because we are not exposed to it, you know, at least this point, you know. So that's what Srila Rupa Goswami gives by that way, showing us, you know. So Jiva Goswami resolves a controversy. Now another point, he's removed the controversy about the chronology. What came first? Srimad Bhagavatam came first or Mahabharata came first? Here Srimad Bhagavatam tells itself that it was composed after Mahabharata, you know. So what Srila Vyasadeva, when he first edited the original one Yajurveda into four Vedas, he then abridged whatever remaining. So billion verses were remaining still. So out of this billion verses that was corresponding to the Puranas, for the earthly people, he reduces it to 18 Puranas. And that is about 400,000 verses. And the 100,000 that remains, that is for the Mahabharata. In fact, actually, for the higher planetary system, it's about 6 million verses. We have only 100,000 verses. So the Mahabharata original is even much greater than that. So the original composition of Srimad Bhagavatam was in an abbreviated form. Later he compiled Mahabharata out of compassion for those who cannot study the Vedas, you know, like the Shudras, women and so on. All of us actually are Shudras in Kali Yuga. we are actually strictly, we cannot understand that. We don't have that necessary intelligence and so on like that. So for us, out of great compassion, Srila Vyasadeva compiled this Mahabharata. So it's in a story form, just like we give a stories, fairy stories, stories of fairies to little children to make a point, right? So that's how, when you study the, by this, giving this great everyday political lives and quarrel and all kind of things, you know, that you can relate in everyday life. But by that way, he's teaching us a lesson. So Mahabharata is like that, actually, you know. So, but the later edition of Srimad was composed following. So even after compilation of Mahabharata and all the things, Srila Vyasadeva was really not satisfied. He was very unhappy. And he thought something is lacking. I had not done something really that is necessary. And he had some suspicion in his mind that maybe I didn't describe sweet pastimes of Krishna. So that's where his spiritual master, Narad Muni, came to his ashrama, you know. And he confirmed that suspicion. And he asked him to compile again Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, he said that whatever, everything that you need will be revealed to you. You go in Samadhi. And that's where in Samadhi, Krishna himself, everything in point details, you know, about himself and his potencies, his Maya potency, living entities, how they are suffering. Not only that, even the remedy for that also he showed Vyasadeva. And that's how then he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam to teach us how to render devotional sadhana bhakti. So that is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is by way Krishna reveals himself. So that is the very essence of Bhagavatam, is Lord Krishna. Bhakti towards him, that is the Krishna. You know? That is the essence of Bhagavatam that is coming out, you know. So in this new version, the 18,000 verses that we saw in today's society, that he compiled later on after he compiled Mahabharata. You know? But before Mahabharata, that he compiled the 18 Puranas, that was an abridged version of Srimad Bhagavatam, just the essence of Bhagavatam. You know? Okay. So now, in the remaining time, I believe it is next one, please. So there is the PowerPoint number 12, please. So now, what we are going to see is the summary points of 9 to 49. Remember, I told you in text 29 about the analysis of Shukadeva's heart, you know, the mood, and then text 30 to 49 is about Srila Vyasadeva's samadhi analysis. Everything, all these important points are enumerated right here, actually. In 2, 3, like that, up to 12 points now. So that's what you see in the PowerPoint with 12, please. So text 49 is, in a sense, a revisit of text 29. That's exactly what I told you about that, you know, at that point, which
yes, Prabhuji, I will do that now.
I hope everybody can hear me now. I'm sorry, my laptop got frozen, you know. So this is the older laptop. So in this PowerPoint, basically, we are seeing the summary of text 29 to 49 all the way, you know. So number one, that we heard, that the Supreme Lord is eternally self-endowed with all different kinds of potencies. And basically, these potencies are in three broad categories: internal potency, marginal potency, and external potency. Internal potency, that is the bhakti. And external potency, that is maya. The intermediate marginal potency is that we, the living entities. And then the the primary and original form of the Supreme Lord. What happened? PowerPoint, please. That is Swayam Bhagavan is manifested himself, but also he manifests himself in other expansions also. Next PowerPoint, will you? PowerPoint number 13, please. So neither Krishna, Krishna's Paramatma expansion, the supersoul expansion, not the undifferentiated Brahman, are really independent of him. The Brahman is also dependent on him, the Swayam Bhagavan, you know. So Bhagavan is a full realization, whereas Paramatma realization and Brahman realization are partial realizations, you know. And the jivas, we the living entities, are finite, are completely distinct from Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, and so much so that they are we are integrated consciousness, part of him, you know. So we, it's like sun rays and the sun, you know. So we can never ever become one with him, with the Lord, as opposed to what Mayavadis are saying. And Maya is Krishna's external potency, and her role is to include the living entities who chose not to turn towards Krishna because of selfish material pursuits. So then Maya takes over that, you know. However, Bhatwa, Yantya, Tarumajada, Rita. But Maya is actually, I said that she is a devotee of the Lord, and she is actually always remains subservient to the Supreme Lord. So Maya cannot influence Bhagavan at all, and as well as Maya cannot interfere in his internal potencies. So when devotee wants to serve the Lord, and the Lord showing in reciprocation his Swarupa Shakti, then Maya cannot interact, you know. Maya cannot affect devotee, you know. And Krishna himself says that Devi Esha Gunamai Mama Maya Durataya. It's very, very difficult to overcome by our own efforts. And yet, Maam Yo Uprapadyante Maam Etam Tarantite. So one who surrenders unto me, then he easily transcends my Maya's influence, you know. So this living entity can indeed become gain freedom from Maya's illusory potential, delusory influence, simply by being engaged in devotional service to unto the Krishna. The point number 9, please. So hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in devotional service unto the Lord can end all miseries of the Lord, actually, simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the reason why Srila Vyasadeva compiled Bhagavatam, is to teach us how to render devotional service, in practice. And then the bliss inherent within pure devotion of the Lord is superior to the happiness derived from Brahman realization that even highly self-realized sages, the Atmaramas, become attracted. So that's where the Srila Rupa Goswami says that Brahman realization is nothing, is the trillion times more than this one is. So this is even, and even then is compared to just a drop of ocean, actually. So that is the potency of Prema Bhakti. So the ultimate purpose of human life is to attain that perfection of love, that's Prema Bhakti, Krishna Prema Bhakti. And that is the fruit of devotional service in practice, sadhana bhakti. And the final point, devotion is supremely independent, whereas other paths of self-realization are dependent on bhakti. So ultimately one has to come to bhakti. So with his last two verses, 1, 7, 10, 11, that's the Atmanam verse, you know. Suta Goswami confirms all the one and same realization of Sukadeva Goswami and Srila Vyasa. They both reflect the same realization, you know. So that is where the I will stop here, and I'm sorry about that. About 10-15 minutes were wasted because I got disconnected, you know. So what I'll do is that if you can send me your questions, I'll try to reply you, answer you by email, and we may take it up in our next week's class, you know. So this really concludes the analysis by Jiva Goswami of Srila Vyasadeva's Samadhi, what he saw there, you know. And all the way from text 29 to 49. So text 50 onwards, we will begin, we'll shift gears. And that is where Jiva Goswami is going to show us the ultimate essence of the Supreme Tattva, you know. So I'll stop here. And because there's hardly 5 minutes remaining, so I'm going to, with your permission, and my apology for that, I'm going to request Dishana to conclude the class with Nishima prayer. Be sure to send me your questions, and I'll take it up by answering through email, and also we'll take it up in next week's class. Hari Bol. Dishana, please. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Namaste Narasimhaya. Namaste Narasimhaya. Pralad Daayine. Pralad Daayine. Hiranyakashi Purvakshaha. Hiranyakashi Purvakshaha. Silatanka Nakalaye. Silatanka Nakalaye. Ito Narsimha Pareto Narsimho. Ito Narsimha Pareto Narsimho. Yato yato yami tato narsimho. Yato yato yami tato narsimho. Bahir narsimho hridaye narsimho. Bahir narsimho hridaye narsimho. Narsim mamadim sharanam prapade. Narsim mamadim sharanam prapade. Tavakara kamalavari nakam adbuddha sringam. Dalita hiranyakashipu tanu bringam. Keshavadrita narahari rupa jaya jagadisha hari. Jaya jagadisha hari. Jaya jagadisha hari. Keshavadrita narahari rupa jaya jagadisha hari. Jaya jagadisha hari. Jaya jagadisha hari. Jaya narsimhadev. Jaya narsimhadev. Jaya narsimhadev. Jaya narsimhadev. Jaya Prahlad Maharaj. Jaya Prahlad Maharaj. Jaya Prahlad Maharaj. Jaya Prahlad Maharaj. Nitai Gora Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Nitai Gora Hari Bol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad. 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad. Jaya Jaya Gurudev. 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev. All glories to the devotees. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Dishana. Thank you very much. I thank everyone. Please forgive me. I got disconnected. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. All glory to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glory to Srila Jiva Goswami. And all glory to all the Vaishnavas. So I look forward to see you next week. And have a wonderful Krishna Consciousness week ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.